This morning's reading is from Acts chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Pentecost. You may have noticed I get quite excited about the festivals we have in our Christian faith, Christmas, Easter, and Pentecost. Wonderful, exciting times. And that's where we are today. We've been working towards this day, haven't we, with the talks we've been having on the Holy Spirit over the last few weeks. Who is he? His work, and so on. And now we've arrived at Pentecost Sunday, where we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. You know, for a lot of years, the coming of the Holy Spirit didn't mean an awful lot to me. And I think Paul said that when he spoke as well. But it does now. So what have we heard these last weeks? Towards the end of his life, as we know, Jesus had told his disciples several times what was going to happen to him. They weren't too happy about it. In fact, the thought of Jesus leaving them was actually devastating to them. So they were just pretending it wasn't happening, I think. You see, their whole lives were wrapped up with him, and they didn't expect it to finish. And do you remember a few weeks ago we talked about John 14 and how Jesus tried to calm their fears? He says his going won't be a disaster. In fact, it will bring them blessing. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and in me. I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor, the Holy Spirit, who will be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." They wouldn't be alone. Of course, it did happen, just exactly as Jesus said, because his word is truth, it never fails. Jesus did die that awful death, but he rose again, and appeared to his disciples over a period of 40 days. Last week we celebrated Ascension Day as Jesus was taken up into heaven. How confusing it all must have been for those disciples living through that. We look at it in hindsight. But their beloved Jesus died. He rose again. But it was different. What were they supposed to do? Go fishing again? They had a go at that, didn't they? And then they saw him ascend. And they knew that they weren't going to see him again as they had before. As he went, they asked him if it was the time that the kingdom would be restored. But he said, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth." And he told them to wait, didn't he? So here we are, 10 days later. The disciples were all gathered in one place. We don't know if it was just Jesus' chosen disciples or if it was a larger group, but here they were, meeting, praying together, and waiting, because that's what they were told to do. Possibly they were in a locked room, still a bit afraid. I wonder if they ever prayed, "What are we waiting for?" They'd been told to wait for power to equip them for the ministry that Jesus had called them to. And in the middle of this prayer meeting, it suddenly happened. We've read it once, let's read it again. It's worth hearing twice today. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Wow, what an amazing thing to happen. In the middle of this prayer meeting, when they were quiet, probably, well, it all came. And then we see this timid, a bit unsure group of followers utterly changed. And they became men with great boldness and power. Something really happened to them that day. Do you know, they went straight outside and began to speak to the crowds that were in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. The people were amazed. They even heard them speaking in their own languages. I'm not going to say all those countries again that Phil did. That was very good. We're told the crowds were perplexed. That's a bit of an understatement, I would think. "What does this mean?" they were saying. "These chaps must be drunk." But Peter stood up and told them what it was all about. And then he preached the gospel to them, starting with the prophets, and came right up to date. Do read the rest of chapter 2. The people listening to Peter's anointed words, we're told later on, were cut to the heart. Something he said, the way he said it, the anointing that was upon him, touched their hearts. And they wanted to know what they should do. Because, you know, the people at this festival had possibly heard and seen Jesus when they were there before. They'd probably come up for the festival of the Passover. They could even have been part of the mob that called for his crucifixion. Let me read how Peter answers them, because we didn't read this bit this morning, but you can read it as you read the rest of the chapter. Because Peter replied to this, "What can we do?" He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, and for all whom the Lord your God shall call." They could be forgiven. They could receive this gift of the Holy Spirit, because the gift was for everyone. Everyone. What important words those are for us today. And 3,000 people became Christians that day. I want to mention two of the disciples particularly before I share a little bit of something more personal. First of all, Peter. We all know some of the things Peter did. He often spoke first, didn't he, and thought afterwards. He did and said some wonderful things when he was with Jesus, but he also got it wrong. He tried to turn Jesus away from the cross. He wanted to be the best in the kingdom of God when he got there. He denied Jesus. Peter, though, had learned from Jesus as he was going along, and coupled with the infilling of the Holy Spirit, he was changed, and he changed from being Simon to Peter the Rock. He led the Christian church as it began. He carried out Jesus' work. He healed. He reached out. He stood firm when he suffered from his faith. Let me just read you a few words about Peter from Acts chapter 5. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on them as he passed by. What a changed man Peter became. And then Thomas. I love Thomas. He's just known as the doubter, and I just don't think that's a good word about him, because we read so much about him in other ways. But we can all relate to the doubting bit, can't we? I'm sure at some stage in our Christian lives we've all doubted a bit. We've wondered. Thomas just wanted some proof, I think, in that upper room. It's not easy to believe someone's risen from the dead. He just wanted it clear. He obviously had that sort of mind. He wanted to know for himself. Perhaps he was the cautious type, or perhaps he was a bit of a worrier, but he wanted to know. But you know, in the past, he had sworn allegiance to Jesus. He'd even said he was prepared to die for him. You look at John 11, verse 16. "Let's go and die with him," he said. There are many writings, not particularly scripture, that make it pretty clear Thomas went on to do just that. But not before he'd taken the gospel to India and established many communities there. Again, doubt's gone, a changed man. I'd like, if you'd indulge me, to share a little bit of my own testimony. 37 years ago, this last week, I was filled with the Holy Spirit for the first time. I'd been a Christian for 58 years. There's a gap there, isn't there? There's a gap there. Like my husband said, no one ever told me that I needed and could have more. But as I went along in my Christian faith, I knew I wanted more. I knew I wanted to know Jesus more than I did, and I wasn't sure how to go about it. I was a youth leader. I was even a preacher, beginning to preach at this time. And I knew and loved Jesus. I had always known and loved him. But I knew there was more, because I kept meeting people who seemed to know him better than I did. And I wanted that. I wanted to know him. And I was leading a youth group, and I got to a stage when I felt I had nothing left to tell them. I needed more. They wanted more. And I came to a phase, a time in my life, when I thought, I either have to give this up completely as rubbish, or I need to find out the absolute truth. And thankfully, I had enough friends around me who wanted me to find out the absolute truth and helped me find that, which I did by listening to people, hearing things like people's testimony as to what's happened to them in these years, and just about reading. And I think for about 10 days before I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I just cried. I seemed to cry all the time because I knew I wanted this and I wanted more. And what I did something very practical because a friend helped me with this and it was right for me. Might not be right for you, but just in case, I'm going to say what I did. She said to me, why don't you ask God if there's anything you need to be forgiven for? Anything in your past, anything at all, because you've been forgiven, you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit is living in you. Ask him to show you if there's more you need to be forgiven for. Well, there was a few things, to put it mildly, and I wrote them down. And I said, right, here you are, Lord, this is it. Please forgive me for all of this. I don't want any more of it in my life. I want to turn around from it all. And then I wrote down what I was prepared to give him. Was I prepared to give him just Sundays, just my preaching? Or was I prepared to give him everything? My everyday life, my job, my home, my family, my money, my car, my house, everything I wanted to give to Jesus. And I wrote that down too. Of course, that wasn't the end, as you can imagine. God keeps nudging you and saying, what about that? And what about that? And, you know, it's a lifelong business. But then I asked him to fill me with his Holy Spirit. I was alone in my bedroom. There wasn't tongues of fire. There wasn't even a gale of wind. But suddenly, there was just this amazing, warm feeling came through me. My heart was absolutely thumping. And I went, wow. And as I said, wow, I spoke out in tongues. I know not everybody will do that, but that's what happened to me. I changed that day. I have never been the same since. I have never looked back. That doesn't mean I got it all right. That doesn't mean I haven't made mistakes. It doesn't mean life's a simple, you know, dance along. Of course it isn't. But I changed that day because no matter what happens to me, no matter where I am, no matter what I'm going through, I know that the power of Jesus was within me. And I ask for that every single day. So why did I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, I want to live a good Christian life. Don't you? I can't do it on my own. I want to cope well with whatever life brings and witness to God's love in all circumstances. Don't you? I can't on my own. I want to know God more. Don't you? I need help to do that. I want to pray better. Don't you? I need help to do that. I want to help others. Don't you? I can't do it on my own. I want to lead people to Jesus. Don't you? I can't without his help. Jesus promises us that the Holy Spirit will help us and equip us for all those things and more. It says so in Scripture. It's true. So have I changed? Well, I've just said I have. I certainly have. I do know God more. I know more of his love. Sometimes I feel overwhelmed with God's love, that I can't breathe. What a wonderful feeling that is. I do breathe, of course. I know that my prayers have changed. You know, before I was filled with the Spirit, I used to pray and speak, but I never quite sure that my prayers would be answered, really. I was never quite sure that anybody would take notice of anything I said. They do. People do take notice. My prayers do count because I'm loved from God and it's his Holy Spirit working through me. It's not because I'm brilliant. It's because I'm here and I'm open and I'm willing and I want that power in my life. I have so much more to learn, so much more changing to do. I'm sure my husband would tell you that. He lives with me. But I know that the Holy Spirit is always here with me. within me, and I ask at least once every day that he will fill me in Jesus' name, because I leak. Every time I speak for Jesus or help someone or stand up to the enemy, I use power and I need more. If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit like that, or even if you just want to be refilled, what better time to do it than Pentecost Sunday? God is here. His Holy Spirit is here, moving among us this morning. Peter said, "This promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, and for all whom the Lord our God will call." All. Not just all that he happens to be touching because he wants them to stand up here. Not because anybody feels good enough. Nothing to do with that. He wants to touch us. He wants to come to us. He wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit. If you're able, will you stand with me now? Perhaps if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, you'd like to ask him to fill you. His promise is true. He said he'll do it. Perhaps you want to be refilled again. If you're able and you'd like to do that, put your hands out in front of you. Nobody's going to be looking. I'm not going to be looking. I'm just going to pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your amazing love for each one of us. Thank you that Jesus died and rose again for us so that we could know you, we could be free. And thank you that through Jesus you have sent your Holy Spirit to be with us forever. Thank you that he lives within us when we offer our lives to you. And today, Lord, we're asking you to come here, to just let your power pour out upon us. Please fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill us again, or fill us for the first time, that we may be forever changed and forever know you more. So come, Holy Spirit, we pray, in Jesus' name.